I would like to begin by welcoming you all, and I thought I should begin this gathering with explaining a little bit of the history of these gatherings and to kind of include you in that purpose, in really why we are here at this moment in time. And they really began about 9 years ago in Sufi books in New York, with a meeting between somebody in our group and Andrew Harvey, who had the suggestion there should be a Sufi conference. And he said, in fact, there should be one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast and one in the middle. And when I heard this, I was a little reticent about the idea. And then I was told not only should to participate in it, but to host it. And so we started here on the West Coast, and we wanted to come here to Asilomar, but Sufism was a little suspect at the time. And we didn't get any response from the people here. They just didn't answer the telephone. We could never get through to anybody. So, you know, as Sufis, we are trained to look at the signs. And so I said to the person who was helping me arrange it, to Barbara, I said, look, there is this tradition that really belongs to the land here, that belongs to the spiritual dimension of the land, that you have to go somewhere and you have to sit on the land until you are invited, because that really belongs to the Native American tradition of place, of land. I said, if we're really going to have a real spiritual gathering, we have to be welcomed by the spirits of the place. So she came down here and literally sat here for 3 days. And then after 3 days, somebody approached her. And the person who approached her happened to work here and also be Native American. And really out of that meeting welcomed her. And that enabled this particular gathering to take place, not just in the outer world, not just in the visible world, but also in the unseen world, in the world of spirit. Because in this country, the world of spirit is still held in the land by the Native American tradition, and so it was deeply important that we were welcomed. And so over the years, these gatherings have continued, some on the East Coast, some on the West Coast. And Piazir has been very kind to participate in it, and other of the presenters who you'll share with this weekend. And this is, in a way, a accumulation of these 8 years. It is as if something that has been given can be received. In a way, it is a moment in time. As Sufis, we are trained to learn to be very attentive to the moment and to catch the moment. And so this is a sharing of a moment that is, in a way, an eight-year moment, because it has been present for 8 years ever since Barbara came and sat on the land here, or maybe even before in this meeting in Sufi books. And it has to do about different threads of Sufism coming together, about honoring the oneness that is at the foundation of Sufism. The oneness of being, the oneness of life, the oneness that is within the heart. And in order to capture that moment, we are actually filming this gathering. That is the purpose of filming it, is to capture this moment that then also can be shared with people who are not able to come here. So you will see many of the events are being filmed for that purpose, so that this Sufi moment, which is really what it is, this coming together, this sharing, this being present in the circle of Sufis, is held, both in our hearts and also through filming it, making it, say, available to people who aren't able to come. And I'll just describe this evening, which is, I'm going to give this introduction for a while, And then Piazir is going to give us some Sufi meditations together with the Ney flute playing, which is very, very dear to the heart. And then we will have a short playing of the Ney flute that will then go into 20 minutes of silence to bring this evening to a close and this gathering to an opening. And I would just say that for me, the Ney has always been infinitely precious because it has this call that for me is the essence of the Sufi path. In fact, my favorite definition of Sufism, as many of you know, is Sufism was at first heartache, only later it became something to talk about. And the Ney for me captures this heartache, this incredible longing of the soul that is really the only road back to God. It is love in its purest, simplest essence, this stamp in the heart that really that makes a Sufi. If you have that stamp in the heart of longing, then you are a Sufi. And as many of you know, in fact, the Rumi's poem, the Mathnawi, begins with the cry of the reed flute. Listen to the reed, how it tells a tale, complaining of separations, saying, ever since I was parted from the reed bed, my lament has caused man and woman to moan. It is only to a bosom torn by severance that I can unfold the pain of love desire. Everyone who is left far from his source wishes back the time when he was united with it. So that is the imprint within the heart that is also the cry of the reed flute. This longing, this desire to go home, this simple homesickness of the soul. And it is something so simple, it is something so primary. We are separated from God, or the lover is separated from his or her beloved. Because for us, the whole business is a love affair. Heartache. Your heart cries to God. For some reason, you do not understand, you do not really ever know why. Why somebody stamped your heart with that most ancient, most primal of imprints. That cry of the soul. And in that cry of the soul, in that imprint, there is the whole journey, the whole mystery of both separation and also union. Because you wouldn't long for oneness with God unless you knew oneness with God. You cannot long for something if you do not know it. So it is this most basic human quality. We are separate from God, the lover is separate from its beloved. And also, within our heart, we know the secret of union. And this is very, very, very precious. Because we live in a world that is fractured and fragmented beyond our imaginings. We live in a world that is teetering on the edge of falling apart, as in the poem of Yeats, the center cannot hold. And we know the secret both of separation and union. And we come together in remembrance of it. The purpose of these gatherings is just to be together for his sake, for the sake of our beloved, celebrating that oneness that belongs to God, the oneness of being, the oneness in which everything is included, and we know it in our hearts. Now, mostly for the mystic, this is a very solitary journey, and because it is the inner journey from the alone to the alone.
And yet there is also something very precious in coming together to share that journey for a moment in time. In being together with fellow wayfarers on the path. Rumi says somewhere, be with those who mix with God as honey blends with milk, with those who say anything that comes and goes, that rises and sets, is not what I love. So we are together in that mystery of love, which is also a mystery of oneness. We are just together. In Sufism, there is a simple secret in just being together for his sake. Just being present for his sake. And knowing that we are one. Knowing that we are one. There is actually a lovely story of Shamsi Tabriz in which someone became a plaintiff in a case and they wanted witnesses. And so the person took 10 Sufis into the courtroom for witnesses. And the judge says, I want another witness. And the man said, Your Honor, call into witness 2 witnesses. I have brought 10. Why do you want another witness? I have brought 10. And he said, these 10 are one witness. If you bring 100,000 Sufis, they'll all be one. We are one. That is what we live. That is in our hearts, in our breath, in our knowing, in our sharing, in our being together. It's something very simple, but the world has forgotten it. The world thinks we are separate. The world is obsessed by me, mine, as opposed to somebody else. And we know a different truth and we live a different truth. And we make a simple statement by coming here together to honor that oneness. There is just one path, one love affair, one cry of the heart, one lover and one beloved. Yes, there is this mirage of it being fragmented into 1,000, into 1,000,000, into 1,000,000,000. That is just a mirage because we know otherwise. When you go in the heart, there is only one. There is only you and your beloved. And when you sit together in a circle of friends, there is still only one. There is still only one lover and one beloved, and they are one. It's one of the great, great mysteries of creation. You can call it unity in multiplicity. It doesn't matter what you call it, because we live it. We are both. We are the witnesses. One witness, 100 witness, it is one witness. Because we are Sufis. And what I find so precious and what I have experienced myself in a way that is I hadn't experienced before in these gatherings, to see these different threads of love, these different ancient Sufi paths, which have different qualities, different textures. There is music, there is silence, there is dance, there is dreams. And they all weave the same thread of love. They all weave the same thread of love, and we are that thread of love being woven into the world, being woven into creation. I met my teacher when I was 19 and I just sat at her feet for many, many, many years and I knew nothing of other paths until I came to America and then nothing much of other Sufi paths until these gatherings. And then I saw they're all one. It's the same cry, it's the same heart. Yes, some people need to dance, some people need to sit in silence. It doesn't matter. The beloved expresses himself in so many ways. It is said there are as many paths to God as there are human beings, as many as the breaths of the children of men. And we honor that. We know it is all one. Nobody's path is better, nobody's path is nearer. because they are just aspects of love. They're just ways the beloved is called back to God. These different paths of love. And this is a time coming together to share those, to say, yes, we are one. I do my practice, but I also honor your practice. It is, in a way, the real adab of the Sufi. That deep recognition of this mystery of creation that is present in our hearts. I think it is a very precious contribution one can make in a world that is fragmented, in a world that is tearing itself apart, both in the inner world and the outer world, to say there is another aspect to life. There is another way to be. And to share it, not just to have it as an inner idea. You see, most of us as mystics happens inwardly. Those are the experiences that take us deeper and deeper within ourselves, through the veils, back to the source. But from time to time, there is a need to express it outwardly, to bring it from the inner to the outer, to see that reflection in the outer world. And that is what I would like you, if possible, to share in these next few days, to be present, to taste these different fragrances of love. You can't taste a fragrance, what a terrible... To smell these different fragrances of love, to taste these different sweetnesses, and to be present in it, and to be together with friends you know and friends you don't know, and to eat together and to laugh together and to walk on the seashore together. It is a Sufi way. We don't take it too seriously because it is a love affair. And like my teacher said, you have to hold love with light hands. And Sufis like being together. From time to time, we like to be together and to share this oneness. Companions are attentive to meeting with each other. Friendship is their profession. All are servants of each other, and all are teachers of each other. All are disciples of each other because they are in essence one. I repeat that, it is so profound. It is about a real Sufi gathering. Companions are attentive to meeting with each other. Friendship is their profession. All are servants of each other, and all are teachers of each other. All are disciples of each other because they are in essence one. When companionship appears, it brings stability, even when it is disturbed. In all conditions, it is to be chosen. It is the trace of God, for it is the representative of God to his creation. If there were no companionship, one would not be at rest in the flow of fate and destiny, and would not be literate and learned in the assemblies of intimacy. They are the people of God's house, among whom there is no stranger. They are the people of God's house, among whom there is no stranger. Because we are people of the heart. There was a time in the Middle East when you could travel the land going from Sufi group to Sufi group, from Hanukkah to Hanukkah, where you would be welcome because you were a dervish. You didn't have to belong to anything. You were a wandering lover of God. You were taken in. It's the true meaning of hospitality, because your soul was made welcome. And that is something very precious. It isn't so anymore here in this part of the world, but maybe we can share it just to be together, just to honor that intimacy of the heart, that companionship, that is the real companionship. Why? Because it is a reflection of the companionship of the soul with God. That is the real adab. That is the real respect We are with each other as we would be with God. It is a deep knowing in the heart. We are together for His sake. It is a simple saying, infinitely profound. We are together for His sake. And we all live such busy lives, and the demands of this culture, this world today, grips us in every way it can, much more than we know sometimes. We don't even know what are our thoughts and what is somebody else's thoughts. Like the other evening, because I was watching a presidential debate on television, I had dreams about healthcare. We are so easily swallowed up by the collective thought forms, and particularly at this time of anxiety, of nobody knowing exactly what is going to happen. And yet as Sufis, we honor something deeper. We know that we never know what is going to happen. We know that disaster is always around the corner and we welcome it. And there is a smile somewhere. There is a smile because we belong to our beloved. We don't belong. Be in this world as if you are a traveler, a passerby, because this is not home. We belong in a different way. And again, I would just like you in these few days to share that belonging. Like you pick up these threads of love of the different gatherings here, of the different meetings, of the dance, of the music, of the silence. And you sense underneath it all, there is a deeper mystery that belongs to the soul, that belongs to both your soul and also the soul of all of humanity. Because we don't do this for ourselves. There is this lovely definition of a Sufi as a brotherhood of migrants who keep watch on the world and for the world. For some strange reason, we are drawn into this circle of love, not for ourselves. So as much as we are making our journey, we are also making the world's journey. We carry that secret for humanity, which is why Sufis have been known as the people of the secret. It's part of the mystery of life. Ibn al-Arabi says, "How can I know you when you are the inwardly hidden who is not known? How can I not know you when you are the outwardly manifest, making yourself known to us in everything? How can I not realize your unity when union is the very secret of servanthood?" He is hidden within our own hearts, unknowable, always and forever. No one knows God but God. And yet, in everything, in each other, in the flowers, in the carpet, in the trees, in the sea, He reveals Himself. One of the great secrets of creation, our Beloved speaks to us around it, in everything. Nothing is hidden. Everything is revealed. If we know how to look, if we know how to love. And in this, there is oneness. And we are part of it all. Nothing is separate, nobody is alone. That is just an illusion. We are part of it. We are part of this extraordinary oneness that is part of the secret of creation. Mostly, we live it in a world that has forgotten it. We live in a culture of forgetfulness, haunted by demons. But maybe just for a few days we can be present in a world of remembrance, in which the remembrance in each of us talks to the remembrance in us all. We can be present in a space of remembrance, not of forgetfulness. We can glimpse what really is, We can see the love within our own hearts and the love within each other. We can return to that simple core of being that is oneness, that is love. Don't try to think too much this weekend. You know, Attar, when he says, when love comes, reason disappears. Reason cannot live with the folly of love. Don't try to make sense of it, you won't. I didn't know that a meeting in Sufi books 9 years ago would be here. Just be present with each other, with your heart, with the beloved. And allow something to touch you. That is the real mystery that happens when Sufis come together. Normally, it is just Sufis coming together in their own groups, in their own tariqas, doing their own practice. And many of you have done that for many years, and it is the most precious gathering I think one can have. And here we are just embracing a wider horizon of bringing together different tariqas, different ways of being with God, and saying, it is all one. So I just want you to share in that for a few days and to be present with Him who we love, with Him to whom we belong. So just to remind you, after Piazia has finished his meditations, we will have some nay music that will then take us into 20 minutes or so of silence within the heart.
Very little that can be said after what has just been said. Nothing really remains to be said. But we can take the essential truths that have flowed forth just now through the inspiration of our host, Sheikh Llewellyn, who has over the years so kindly hosted all of us for these very unique occasions, these gatherings of kindred spirits. We can take in these essential truths in the mode of what is called by the Sufis muraqaba. And that is a word that may be translated as contemplation. Perhaps more precisely, the word suggests keeping watch, watchfulness. And one of the very early practitioners of this art, and it is an art, was a great being, a great Sufi named Shibli, who was absolutely enamored of God, constantly living in the vividness of the urgency of his yearning for God and his unfolding discovery of the divine presence. There were times when he was committed to an asylum because he was so sane that his sanity seemed to everyone else insane. And he practiced the art of muraqabah, of contemplation, keeping watch. And some people, his friends, asked him, "Where did you learn this unusual technique that you have?" And he answered, "I learned it from a cat. I learned it by watching a cat sitting in front of a mouse hole." And he said, "I observed that every single hair on the body of the cat was absolutely still." And he said, "And we consider ourselves a superior species. And I realized I could never claim that superiority if I could not at least do what this cat has done, sit in absolute stillness, in silence, serenely watching its object." And for Shibli, the object of his contemplation was not a mouse, but it was the one being. It was reality itself. Now it has come down to us that we may apply this technique of stillness, of awareness of the breath, of interior illumination to the deep study of the ayat, of the signs of God, revealed in prophetic verses. And so these prophetic verses have been passed down as a series contemplations over the generations from heart to heart as an exercise in deepened awareness. Awareness of God, yes, but something still more significant than that awareness in addition. And that is the awareness of God's awareness of us. That is the real muraqabah. Not contemplating God, but living in the awareness of God's awareness of us through the breath, through presence, through deepening our realization of the meaning of the divinely revealed words that have reached us. And so in these moments, I will recite a series of these ayat, these signs of God's presence here and now, on the horizons and in ourselves. And we will hear the words, and the words will continue to echo within on each breath, so that after you have heard the words continue to sound as you draw in a breath. You breathe in the words and the message, the revelation of God's presence. And as you exhale, you are conscious of the presence, the attunement, the vibration, the quality of being that flows from that remembrance. Inhaling again, the words and the message come. Exhaling, the expansion of the state of the awareness that is kindled in the words. We are rediscovering, illuminating, revealing the one relationship that is the essential relationship that is enacted in all of our encounters, in all of the circumstances of our life. Here in our muraqabah, we are going back to the essential. Confrontation with the one who meets us in every moment, whether we are conscious or unconscious of that meeting. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the breath of all breaths, the essence of tender loving kindness. Thank you. Allah Noor Samawati Wal Ard. Allah Noor Samawati Wal Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Inna Allah bi kulli shay'in kaleem. Certainly, Allah speaks to everyone and everything. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And Allah is with you wherever you are.
Oh.
فَأَيْنَمَا تَوَلُّوا فَثُمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wheresoever you turn, there is the divine face. نحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. We are closer to you than your jugular vein. إن الله عليم بذات الصدور. Indeed, Allah knows the essence of the breast, the secret of the chest, the inner dimension of the heart.
Thank you.
وَفِرُّوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Turn toward the One. فاذكلي في عبادي واذكلي جنتي. Enter in among my devoted ones and enter my garden. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. You will not attain the good until you give freely of what you love.